This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمداً عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we seek His guidance. We seek protection in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his servant and messenger. Dear sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Keeping the sisterhood alive. When I was thinking about this topic, I thought, there must be someone in each of our lives. If I was to ask you to just look back in your life and think of all the faces, of all of the sisters, the Muslim sisters who've touched your life in some way, I'm sure each and every one of us could name some very special people. Looking back myself, I remember when I was 16 years old, I was a lonely student in Cairo. It was the first time that I'd moved away from my parents. I couldn't cook. I didn't know Arabic. I got lost every day. Yeah, I couldn't cook. That was the main thing, you know, hunger. I didn't have much company. It was the first time I was away from my family. And to be honest, I sunk to a level in myself, in my iman, if you like, where I would never like to, inshallah, I pray I will never sink to ever again. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two very special sisters my way. Their names were Musarrat and Fahmida, and they were from Birmingham. I'd never met them before. We just happened to meet in Cairo one day. These two sisters reached out to me and they brought me back to dry land. That's the only way I can really describe it. They befriended me. They cared about me. They were older than me. And they were very forgiving towards me and my little, you know, teenage idiosyncrasies. They laughed with me. They spent their money on me. They inspired me. And they forced me to take a long, hard look at myself and make some serious changes. And for that, I'm indebted to them. In fact, if it wasn't for that sisterhood, if it wasn't for that relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent my way, I don't think I would even be standing here in front of you today. And I don't think that they realized how important they were, actually, you know, and what impact they really had. Now, they didn't do this because I was a relative of theirs, or because I came from the same country as them, or because I came from the same background or tribe, or that they would gain anything at all. They did it simply because I was their sister in Islam. So my sisters, one of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the sisterhood that we enjoy, and sometimes we don't even realize it. This sisterhood is a huge blessing directly from Allah. Because what other nation can say that they could travel, and I feel confident about this, I could travel to any country on this earth, and in any country on this earth, I could find a sister who would feed me, who would take me in. She may speak a completely different language. She may dress differently. And yet, there's something in our hearts that is connected. Our hearts speak the same language. She's our Muslim sister. As soon as we say salam to her, halas, the connection is there. The love is there. What other community or nation on earth can claim to be able to do that? And when I was about 17 years old, I tried to test this theory of mine out. And I packed nothing but the clothes that I was wearing, and I traveled to Jerusalem from Cairo. And I went there completely 100% confident that I would find somebody there who would help me in some way, you know, help me find a place. And surely enough, we stayed there for 10 days in the house of a lady who we just met, a Palestinian lady, and, you know, they fed us. In fact, by the end of it, we were kind of hoping they wouldn't take us to all the different places they wanted to take us, to meet all the different aunties and uncles and their families. But the love that they expressed towards us was so overwhelming. And that just confirmed to me that, yes, we could go to any country on earth and we would find sisters and we would find a home. This sisterhood is a God-given gift. It can't be manufactured. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the brotherhood and sisterhood in the Quran. Now, even the government, you know, is asking, and people ask, what is it about you Muslims that connects you with the heart of a mother in Syria? Why is it that you cry when you hear about the plight of your sisters in Gaza? Why do you care so much? You know, why do people care so much that they would actually travel, leave the comfort of their homes and travel for humanitarian purposes all the way to a place where they kind of really don't know what they're going to be expecting? What is it that binds us? And many of the new Muslim sisters that I've met, they often say to me that they never experienced sisterhood or connection with women the way they did when they became a Muslim. I know a number of sisters who, you know, on their journey to Islam, they converted to different religions, Judaism, Hinduism, other Buddhism. They tried out lots of different things. They said they never found love and sisterhood the way they did when they became a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah says, and He brought together their hearts. If you had spent all that is on earth, all the wealth that's on earth, you would not have been able to bring their hearts together. But Allah brought them together. Indeed, He is exalted in might and wise. And Islam made it so conducive for us to have a strong sisterhood. There's little things, you know, that we sometimes take for granted. I'm just going to give you one little example. A few months ago, we were at a wedding, and I was sitting with some sisters, and we were all really dressed up. You know, it was a segregated wedding, and so we were really dressed up. There were some sisters who were wearing, you know, strapless dresses and really, really letting their hair down. And everyone was looking glamorous. Everyone was admiring each other. And there was no feeling of animosity or jealousy or, you know, no negative kind of feeling. But there were some converts who were sitting with us. So the thought entered my head, I wonder if we'd actually feel as comfortable as we're feeling right now if, you know, we were in a mixed gathering, if there were some men here, if our husbands were here. And I asked some of the converts, you know, what was it like when you used to go to these kind of functions, you know, weddings, parties, and you were with your husband, and there'll be other women who all dressed up. And a number of the convert sisters said to me that the word that they described to describe that environment with is that it was a toxic environment. They said, subconsciously, every woman who was there would be kind of vying to get the attention of the men, you know. And Each one of us, she said, was secretly, without even kind of intending it, competing with the other. And inside our hearts, we had feelings of jealousy for each other. And we were worried, you know, who's my husband talking to? And, you know, who's he looking at? But we kind of had this rule that, you know, he can flirt as long as I can flirt, right? And she said, it was only when I became a Muslim that I, for the first time, tasted true friendship and started to enjoy the company of women. SubhanAllah. So something very, very simple that we kind of take for granted, the hikmah of it is so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by removing the sexual tension from society, from the public sphere, that's what, you know, segregation or not intermingling freely and wearing, observing the right, you know, parameters for dress, as Allah has commanded us to. That's what that really works to do, you know, take away the sexual tension from the public space. And through that, we get so much freedom, we don't even perceive it. But in the age of social media, sometimes we can feel like we're really, really connected with hundreds of people, thousands of people even, and yet we're not really even meeting them. We're not even fulfilling the basic rights of our sisters in Islam. So I want to talk about how is it that we can keep true sisterhood, not virtual sisterhood, but true sisterhood in the real world alive. I'm going to give 7 key ways that I feel, inshallah, from the Quran and Sunnah, that we as a community can really, you know, if we worked on these things, we will really bring the sisterhood alive. Number one, when we meet somebody, when we see a Muslim sister, greet her with a smile, an embrace, you know, clasp her hand, as the Prophet ﷺ used to do. One of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah coming is that people will only say salam to people who they know. You know, sometimes you walk down the street and you actually are glad to see a Muslim. Well, not in East London, you guys see Muslims all the time. But in Northwest London, you know, you're kind of happy to see a Muslim. And then it feels like they're kind of trying to avoid eye contact with you for some reason. I don't know what the reason for that is. SubhanAllah, we should be so happy. It's your chance to get a dua from somebody. You know, when we say assalamu alaikum, what are we saying? We're saying peace, you know, be upon you. Safety, may Allah give you safety. Yeah, assalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assalam. We're saying may Allah's protection be upon you. Which one of us does not want that dua from our sister? So really, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, afshu salama baynakum. Spread the salam wherever you go, however many times you have to say it. Say it. Smile in the face of your sister. The Prophet ﷺ said, you know, in the hadith in which he was telling us that every single joint of our body needs to make a sadaqah every day. He showed us some really easy ways to give sadaqah without even spending one penny of our wealth. He said, smiling in the face of your brother is sadaqah. In fact, Ali radiallahu anhu is even reported to have said that when two Muslims meet and they converse, Allah will forgive the one who has the most cheerful face. You don't know what effect your just being cheerful with somebody could have on their day. In fact, just now, I was in one of the colleges locally, and a sister I had never really met before, wanted to talk to me. She just started a conversation. And I had a short conversation with her, even though I had to go. And you know, at the end of the conversation, she said to me, "You know, you've really made my day. I was feeling so down today." And to me, it was like such a little conversation. I didn't think of it as that significant. You know, I didn't think I'd had any particular effect. But you don't know the way that that sister is feeling and how you could inject some happiness into her life. Number two, having husn al-dhan of our sisters. Husn al-dhan means having positive thoughts about people. You know, when there's two ways to interpret what your friend, what your sister in Islam has said, If there's two ways to interpret her behavior, choose the one that is the positive way, right? Because unfortunately, many of the problems that arise between sisters are because of the way we interpret what other sisters have said. So a sister, for example, could even say something as nice as, "You look really nice today." And somebody who has a su'adhan mentality, meaning they have negative thoughts about people, would interpret that and say, "What is she trying to say? Is she trying to say I don't usually look nice?" You know, you could interpret it in a negative way if you want to, but why would you want to do that? And a lot of the time when you hear about issues that sisters are having, it's usually a simple case of interpretation, you know. The sister was tired. It's not that she was ignoring you. One of my problems is I don't remember people's names, and I'm always worried that they might think that I don't take, you know, I'm not thinking of them as significant or something like that, right? So, but we shouldn't have to feel like that about our sisters. We should know that our sister is going to think the best. She's not going to, you know, read into my actions. She's not going to think negatively of the things that I'm doing. So stop looking for reasons to be offended by your sister in Islam. Stop making negative and evil assumptions and having negative thoughts, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says to us in the Quran, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann." He says, "Oh, you who have believed, avoid this dhan, you know, this negative assumptions, having negative assumptions about people." And then he says, "Inna ba'da dhanni ithm." Indeed, some of this negative kind of thinking is a sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. He says, and do not spy on one another. So we shouldn't be listening in on people's conversations. Yeah, eavesdropping. Because if you eavesdrop, you're probably not going to get the proper idea of what was being talked about. It's a type of spying. You shouldn't be looking at people's messages and their letters. Yeah, these are not things that we should be doing to our Muslim sister. And we'll talk about backbiting and we'll talk about these things in a moment. But you see, can you imagine, even having a negative thought could be a sin. And that is if, I mean, all of us have negative thoughts sometimes, don't we? But the key thing is not to allow those thoughts to take a grip. Not to entertain those thoughts. So the first time you have a negative thought about a sister or about somebody or about anything, it's like a seed has dropped into some soil. Now, if you were to think about it, analyze it, add more and more evidence to prove, you know, this negative thought that you're thinking is true, then that's like you're watering it. It's like you're watering it, you're allowing it to take root, and you're allowing it to grow. And that is what the sin is. That's where the sin comes in. What you should do, what all of us should do, is when we get those negative thoughts about anyone, you just take the seed and you throw it out. Throw that thought out. Don't entertain it. The shaitan is working hard to make you entertain it. Number three, be a musliha. A musliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. He says the believers are a brotherhood. So make sulh, make reconciliation between your brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So what is it to be, did I translate that? The believers are nothing else but brothers. So make reconciliation between your brothers and fear Allah, that be conscious of Allah so that you may receive mercy. Allah says in Surah Al-Hujarat. What is it to be a Muslim? To be a Muslim means to bring people together. To be that glue, to be that person who doesn't, you know, put a wrench between people, but brings them together. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that he is not a liar who seeks to reconcile between people by saying good things. So in other words, you are even allowed, this is one of the situations in which you're even allowed to lie in order to bring people together. And what do I mean by that? So for example, you could say to one sister, you know, Sister Sarah, she was praising you the other day. You can say things like that. You can say, you know, she really thinks highly of you. She really admires you. Even if it's not true. Just in order to bring their hearts together. If a sister is having some doubts about another, you can actually tell her things about that other sister that will help to bring their hearts together. And that's actually a good deed. That's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will praise, considers praiseworthy. And the opposite of that is backbiting and namima. Ghiba, or backbiting, is to say something about somebody, even if it's true, to say something true, in fact, about somebody that they would not like you to say about them. Right? Slander is if you were to say something that's not true, that's even worse. But ghiba, even saying the truth about something that the person would not like, is evil in and of itself. Now what about namima? Now sometimes sisters fall into namima very easily. And namima is basically, if you are having a conversation with a sister, and you let her know that somebody else was talking about her in a way that she wouldn't like, right? Or she was being mentioned somewhere in a way that she wouldn't like. And this is tale carrying. This is a major sin. Ghiba is a major sin as well, but namima is even worse. So that's something we should really avoid. Even if you know that somebody has been talking about a sister, you shouldn't be letting her know that. You should let her, you know, ignorance is bliss. You should let her feel that things are okay. Otherwise, you'll fall into namima. One of the salaf, he said, when backbiting appears, brotherhood for Allah will disappear. And at that time, you will be like gold and silver plated objects. Wooden on the inside and just looking nice on the outside. So we need to create a culture where it's not acceptable for people to backbite. We need to walk away from it in order to preserve our own deen. Being a Muslim also means not forsaking your sister. The Prophet ﷺ told us the gates of paradise are opened on Monday and Thursday. And everyone who does not do shirk, and everyone who does not associate partners with Allah, will be forgiven on those days, except a person who has an argument with his brother or sister. And it will be said, wait till these two reconcile and the love returns between them. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes discord between the believers. You know that it's completely haram to abandon your sister, to not speak to her for more than a maximum of 3 days. And then, as the Prophet ﷺ said, the first person to initiate the conversation, the first person to forgive, is the one who is the better one. And never think, my sisters, that by being the one who humbles themselves, by being the one who says sorry first, that your status is in some way diminished. No. The Prophet ﷺ said, sadaqah doesn't reduce your wealth. Forgiveness only increases you in prestige. And whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise them up. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising you that, the Prophet ﷺ is promising you that Allah will do that, you have nothing to fear. You know, you're not saying sorry to that person because you're trying to, you're humbling yourself for that person. You're humbling yourself for the sake of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. This is what it means to be a Muslim. Going to sleep every night without having the baggage of negative and, you know, horrible feelings and thoughts towards other people. Just forgive people. Number four, visiting our sisters. So physically visiting them. I'm sure all of us want to be one of the seven types of people who will be under the shade, in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day when there will be no other shade except Allah's shade. And this is such a simple, inshallah, way for us to be amongst those people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two people who love one another for the sake of Allah, meeting for his sake and parting for his sake. So they met for no other worldly reason, not to set up a business or to, you know, buy anything, or to gain anything in this world. They only met because they love each other, because of the bond of Islam that they have. And that will mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm Qiyamah will actually call, where are the people who loved each other for my sake? Let them be in my shade. And when we do meet our sisters, we should give our sisters our undivided attention. It's not giving somebody love, it's not fulfilling their rights as a sister if throughout the time that we're spending with that person, we're constantly looking at our phone, or we're constantly, our mind is somewhere else. Give people the whole of yourself, just like the Prophet ﷺ used to do. The Sahaba used to think that they were the most beloved to him. You know, Amr ibn al-As, when he came to ask the Prophet ﷺ, who is the most beloved person to you? He actually thought that the Prophet ﷺ would say him. And that's why he asked him. He actually thought that he would say him, because that's how the Prophet ﷺ used to make you feel. But he said Aisha, right? And then he said, no, from the men. So you can see he's hoping that he's now going to mention him. He said, her father. So, subhanAllah, the Sahaba, they used to feel so special in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. How else will we find out if our sister is in need? How else will we find out if she's ill, or if she's got something in her life that's troubling her, without visiting her, unless we visit her? So visiting our sisters. True sisterhood includes, and this is number 5, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Now this is an area that is a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Because at the moment, it feels like there's a kind of a culture where we don't really want to correct people. You know, we don't want to seem judgmental. And people say that, you know, they say, look, who am I to judge, right? It's not about judging people. It's not about passing a fatwa on them or anything like that. It's simply, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, the believer is the mirror of his brother. The believer is the brother of a believer. He protects him from ruin and guards his back. And I remember I had a friend who was from the Philippines, and she was like an upper, you know, like an older sister. And she was always telling me things that she thinks I'm doing wrong. And, you know, I mean, in a really nice way, but still I was getting a little bit annoyed with her. And one day she said to me, Fatima, if you have dirt on your back, how are you going to know that you have dirt on your back if I don't tell you? And if I have dirt on my back, how will I know if you don't tell me? So that is what being a Muslim is, and that is what enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is. Obviously doing it in a lovely way, in a really nice way, in the best way, in the way that somebody who really loves somebody and wants the best for them would do. You can't force anybody to listen to your advice, but let us not make our community the sort of community where nobody says anything to each other. Nobody even advises each other anymore. We should advise and then let them make the decision, and don't spoil our relationship with them. Number 6, make dua for your sister in her absence. The Muslim's prayer for her absent sister or his absent brother will always be answered. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ told us there's an angel at your head. When you are making dua for your brother, for your sister in her absence, who says, Ameen, and may you have likewise. So the Sahaba, when they wanted something really, really to come true quickly, they would make dua for that thing for somebody else. It's one of the ways to get your du'as answered very quickly. So we should make dua for one another. And it's also one of the ways to remove envy from our hearts. You know, when you feel some kind of jealousy or envy towards somebody, first of all, recognize that, you know, this is a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. If you want that blessing, if you want a blessing like it, then forget about that person. Should be seeking it from Allah. Nobody else's success, nobody else having a blessing, is going to stop you from having a blessing. You can have that blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give to whomsoever He wills. So instead of feeling any kind of envy, we should turn to Allah and ask Him for exactly what we want. And we should make dua for that person, right? So when we see something wonderful, we say, Barakallahu fiki. We say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. We make dua for that person in their absence. So make dua for your sister in her absence. And lastly, let us not keep our love to ourselves. Don't keep your love to yourself. Tell your sister that you love her. The Prophet ﷺ said, if any of you loves his brother in Islam, then he should inform him. And he said, Tahadu tahabbu. He said, give gifts and you will increase in love for one another. You will love one another. So in other words, the feeling of love, the feeling of warmth that you have towards your Muslim sister, don't let it just be inside you. Express it in some way. Express it in some way. It can be in very simple gestures, like small gifts. And, you know, by actually telling your sister, I love you for the sake of Allah, as the Sahaba used to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask on Yawm al-Qiyamah, where are those who loved each other for my sake? Today, on the day when there is no shade but mine, I shall shade them with my shade. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who met today for Allah's sake and who part for Allah's sake. And I'm just going to quickly remind you of the seven things. Number one, meet and greet your sister with a smile in the most positive and wonderful way that you can, and saying salam. Number two, have husna dhan, have positive thoughts and positive interpretations of everything that your sister does and says. Number three, be a musliha between people. Make the environment conducive for good relationships between people. Number four, visit your sister in Islam. And number five, true sisterhood also includes enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Tell your sister when there's something wrong that she really needs to change. And number six, make dua for your sister in her absence. Number seven, don't keep the love to yourself. Tell your sister that you love her for Allah's sake. And inshallah, I'll finish with the dua. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام. Oh Allah, put affection in our hearts and set aright our matters between each other and guide us to the way of peace. Ameen ثم آمين. Inshallah, with that I will finish. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.